Well, welcome everybody. It has been a minute since we have all been together. Now, last weekend, as you know, we weren't able to meet together because of the snowstorm that blew through over the weekend, dumping all that snow on us. And then the weekend before that, I was sick, and Pastor Zach and Pastor Reed jumped in and did a wonderful job. They jumped in at the last minute. I had completely lost my voice, and to be honest with you, it's not completely back just yet, but it is way better than it was. But I was really sick, and I appreciate both of them for jumping in at the last minute and filling in for me. So between being sick and the snowstorm, we've had to kind of push pause on this sermon series, Hope and a Future. And today what I'd like to do is I would like to jump right back into that series right where we left off. Now, I hope you recall the first couple weeks of the year when we started this series, because we started talking a lot about vision. And I shared with you in those first two sermons that how during the year of 2025, God really used that year to show us as church leaders some things. He was putting some fresh vision in front of us. And I would just say it was a very shaping, good, productive year. And so I'll just say this. If you missed those first two sermons in that series, then I want to encourage you to go to our church website and listen or watch both of those sermons, so you'll be all caught up and with this series and be fully aware of everything that we're talking about. Now, I wanted to get back into this, and I want to talk about vision again. I want to refresh your memory. When I use the word vision, here's what I mean by that. Vision is simply looking forward and seeing what could be, all right? That's vision. It's looking forward, and it's like thinking about a preferred future for the church. In fact, if we were going to sum up vision into a question, this would be the question: where are we going? That's the question surrounding vision. And listen, if you think about it, we ask vision questions all the time in all different kinds of context. You know, for example, take families for just a minute. Most parents, whether they ever say this or not, whether they've ever verbalized this or not, they have a vision for their family. And as parents, you probably have a picture in mind of how you'd like your family to go. And it might sound like this if you were to put words to it. We want to raise kids who love God and serve others. Man, isn't that a wonderful vision? We want to raise kids who love God and serve others. That is a powerful vision. It may sound like this when it comes to your family. We want our home to be a place where people feel welcomed and loved. Isn't that a powerful vision? How about this? We want to be generous, and we want to make a difference in our community. These are all vision statements. These are all preferred futures. And as a family, as that vision and as that direction takes shape, then it makes decisions for you, like where you live, how you spend your money, what activities you prioritize, and how you use your time together. Now, in the same way, church leaders have a vision for their church family. And we have asked the same question. We've asked this a lot. Where are we going? And as we have prayed together, we believe that God is stirring a vision in us that can be summed up with these two words. And yes, you guessed it, hope and future. Hope and future. These are two words that I've asked you to hang on to tightly, hope and a future, because we want everyone in our church family and everyone that the Lord brings into our lives to know this right here, that God has a hope and a future for them. God has a hope and a future for them. Now, when we started this series, we looked at Jeremiah 29:11, and I want to refresh your memory of that today as well. It says this, this very famous verse, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Now, you'll probably recall from the context when we studied this verse out in great detail that when God spoke these words, he was speaking to Israelites who were living in captivity. They were far from home. They probably felt forgotten by God. And God still said this to them, "I have a plan for you. There is still a hope for you. There is still a future for you." So their hope was that one day they'd be rescued from captivity, that they would be saved. And their future was what? Their future was the promised land. Well, our context is very different, but God's heart is the same. And because of Jesus, our hope and our future is greater than anything that the Israelites could have ever imagined. Because of the cross of Jesus Christ, our hope today is salvation. Our future is eternal life with God. That's our hope and that's our future. So when we're talking about that today, we're talking about salvation and eternal life. And that, my friends, is still the same God that we worship today wants that for everybody. Hope, future, salvation, eternal life. But there are things that get in the way of that. And I think we would all agree today that there are things that people struggle with that keeps them from seeing the hope in the future that we're talking about. I mean, and I'm not talking about politics. Please don't mix that in there. I'm not talking about international conflicts. I'm not talking about anything that's going on in Minnesota right now. I'm not talking about any of that stuff. I mean, you turn on the news and you're gonna be bombarded with bad news. Can I tell you what all that reminds me of? All of that combined that I see happening in the world just reminds me that we are living in the last days. We are living in a broken world that desperately needs Jesus. That's what that reminds me of. But when I say that people struggle to see a hope and a future, I'm really meaning by that a lot of people today are listening to wrong voices. The voice of culture is one of those that people listen to. And can I tell you that the voice of culture wants to define your worth and your identity? You look at what the world communicates and says what is important and valuable, and you look at that stuff, and if you take it seriously, it's going to define for you your value and your worth. And can I just tell you something? I think you all agree with this. Culture is a terrible judge of who you are and what you are worth. Culture is a terrible judge of that. But a lot of times people struggle to see a hope and a future because they're listening to the wrong voice of culture. Sometimes it's not culture, sometimes it's circumstances. Just think about it. Financial stress, broken relationships, health issues, disappointments. I mean, man, when you're in the middle of the storm, sometimes it's hard to see the calm waters that might be just ahead of you. And that can be a powerful voice telling you that there is no hope and there is no future. For others, perhaps it's their past. We spent a lot of time in that second sermon of this series talking about that. Regret, shame, failures. These are voices that can keep you looking backwards instead of forward. And then there's just downright good old-fashioned disillusionment. Maybe you felt this way before. I know other people have, and it kind of sounds like this sometimes. Man, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, and nothing changed. Man, if God really had good plans for me, why did he allow this to happen to me? All of those kinds of voices make it hard for people today to have a hope and a future. But let me paint a picture for you. What if we became a church family that truly believed that there was a hope and a future for everyone? What if every single person who crossed paths with somebody from New Life walked away knowing this truth, that God cares more about where you're going than where you have been? Now, I want you to think about people that you interact with on a daily basis. I want those names and I want those faces to come into your mind's eye right now. Who are these people that you interact with all the time? Can I tell you something about them? Some of them right now are being shaped by their culture. Some of them are overwhelmed by their circumstances. Some of them are so stuck in past mistakes they can't see forward. Some of them are wondering if God even cares about them anymore. And what if God is using you to bring a hope and a future into their life? That's the vision that God is stirring in us, a hope and a future, salvation and eternal life that's available to anybody. Now, is this a brand new idea? Of course not. We have always cared about this. But God is continually bringing clarity. He is always in the business of sharpening our focus and always reminds us about what matters the most. And honestly, let me just tell you something. If a church isn't passionate about people finding a hope and a future, eternal life in Jesus Christ, if they're not passionate about that, then I don't really know what that church is all about to begin with. So we've answered the question, where are we going? Okay, toward a hope and a future for everyone that God puts in our path. It's our vision. That's where we're going. But that leads to another very important question that I want to tackle in this series. And that question is, well, how do we get there? And that brings up an even more basic question. What do we do as a church? That's a very interesting question. What do we do as a church? Do you know the answer to that question? It's interesting, if you were to ask people all across this country who attend church on a regular basis, and you ask them this question, what do we do as a church? You know, you're gonna get all kinds of different answers. You're gonna get answers that sound like this. Well, we preach, we worship, we love God and people, we serve our community. You're gonna hear things like that. And those are all good things, by the way, but you're also going to hear answers like this to that question, what do we do as a church? You're gonna hear more churches than I ever wanna hear say this, but you're gonna hear things like this. We work for justice. You had a friend ever said, this is the purpose of the church. We work for justice. You're gonna hear things like this. We create inclusive community, or we advocate for social change. Why would you get such different answers to such a basic question? You get all kinds of different answers because churches today are really driven by one of two things, okay? They're either driven by what society says is important, or they're driven by what Jesus has commanded us to do. So when you ask that question, what do we do as a church? Something's driving that answer. It's either culture or is Jesus? And I think you know the answer to that question for us. What is driving us? But just in case you don't know the answer to that, I want to be absolutely crystal clear with you today that what drives our church leaders and our church family here at New Life is this. What we do as a church, our mission comes directly from what Jesus told us to do. That's what drives us. And Jesus was very clear about that. And we've studied this verse in great detail, but I want to share it with you again. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus, just before he was ascended into heaven, this is after the resurrection, he gives the disciples their marching orders. He came to them and he said, all authority under heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. That's our mission. What do we do as a church? We make disciples. And not just New Life. That's not something that's only what we do. No, I'm talking about the church at large. I'm talking about the capital C church. I'm talking about the church around the world, the body of Christ. What are we to do? We are to make disciples. And I want to be very straight, very blunt with you, that if we're not making disciples, if we're not doing what Jesus commanded us to do, then we are off mission. Do you agree with that? Do you agree with that today? That if we're not making disciples, then we are off mission. So let's get really basic. What is a disciple of Jesus? If Jesus said, you are to go and make disciples, well, let's talk about it. What is a disciple of Jesus? Here's the language that we have chosen to use to describe what a disciple is. And if you've been with us for a while, then this will sound familiar to you. A disciple is someone who is following Jesus, being changed by Jesus, and committed to the mission of Jesus. That's how we define a disciple. And why did we define it in such ways? Well, because Jesus, when he called his disciples, defined it in a similar way. You don't need to turn there, but in Mark chapter 1, verse 17, we read about how Jesus called his first disciples. You might remember the scene. He's standing on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and he says these words to them. He says, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Now, in this one singular verse from Jesus' words, you find our definition of a disciple. What did he say? Follow me. That's the first thing he said, follow me. And for every single person, we have to make a choice. Some of you right now are considering if this is a choice you want to make. Let me lay it out for you. It's a choice to follow Jesus. I believe that Jesus lived, died, and rose again, and I'm going with that guy. That's the decision. I'm going with Jesus. It doesn't mean that you know everything. It doesn't mean that you've got all the books of the Bible memorized. You can quote all this scripture. No. It probably means you don't know a whole lot just yet. Other, you've come to the point of great conviction. I believe, and I'm going with him. So he called his disciples, follow me. And then he said, I will make you become. Do you understand what he's saying there? How you are today is not how you're going to end up. You are going to transform into something else. And what was that something else? Fisher of men. You follow me and you're going to become something completely different than you are now. You're going to be all about my mission. And so that's why we say, here's a disciple. A disciple is someone who is following Jesus, being changed by Jesus, and committed to the mission of Jesus. And I want you to hear me when I say this. Hope and a future spreads one disciple at a time. As we make disciples, hope and a future continues to spread. This is God's design. Make disciples and watch hope and a future come alive inside of people. Watch it come alive inside of a body of believers. But here's the thing. And here's the thing you got to understand. This is something that really drives us when it comes to our mission. Is that disciples aren't supposed to stay where they started. Okay? Jesus didn't leave his disciples right there on the beach and say, you'll figure it out. No. Come follow me and I will make you become something else. Following Jesus isn't just this one-time decision. No, it's a daily journey of growth. From the moment you say yes to Jesus, God's plan for you then is to grow stronger, deeper, and more mature in your faith over time. Think about it this way. When there is a baby that has been born, we all celebrate that because we celebrate brand new life, God's creation. But if that child never grows, never develops, never matures, then we would become deeply concerned about that child, wouldn't we? Well, the same is true spiritually. New life in Christ is just the beginning. God's desire for you is that you grow day by day, becoming more like Jesus with each passing season. And as your pastor, man, I want to fan the flame of your life so that it will burn hot for the Lord. The longer you roll with us as a church family, the more mature you become as a follower of Jesus. That's the whole idea. And I want to fan that flame because I don't want you just to survive spiritually. I don't want you to sit in that seat for the next 20 years just attending church and going through the motion and being still a very immature follower of Jesus. That's not the goal. I want you to thrive as a disciple of Jesus. I want to see you deeply rooted into God's word, strengthened by the Holy Spirit, overflowing with the fruit of a mature faith. And that kind of growth that I'm describing doesn't happen by accident. No, it requires intentionality. It means showing up consistently. It means staying connected to other believers. It's diving into scripture. It's allowing God to shape you through every season of your life, the mountaintop highs and the valley lows. So when disciples grow and mature, something very powerful happens. You don't just experience hope in a future for yourself. You actually become carriers of it to other people. Mature disciples make more disciples, and that's how hope and future spreads. One growing, thriving disciple at a time. I want to share something with you today that the Apostle Paul wrote the church. It's found in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Listen to what he said. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. Now hear this. There's a continuation here. This isn't a one-time decision. Continue to live your lives in him. Rooted, that means rooted in him, okay, and built up in him. Strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. Did you catch the words that Paul used? Rooted, built up, strengthened, overflowing. That is the picture of a growing disciple. And this isn't the only place that Paul taught about this. You look in Ephesians, he uses words like this: maturity, no longer an infant, growing. This is what it means to follow Jesus and to be changed by Jesus. You grow stronger over time. And here's what I've seen time and time and time again, and maybe this has been your experience as well. The more you grow in Christ, the more grateful you become for the hope and the future that you've been given. Has that been your experience? The more you learn about the Lord, the more you become like Jesus, the more you understand what he taught and you obey what he said, the more and more appreciative you have of his saving grace in your life and the hope of eternity with him forever. That also increases over time. Maturity brings a different kind of perspective on this life and on your future. So as your pastor, I want to lead you down a path that gives you the best opportunity to grow and to mature in Christ. And that's where we bring in some very familiar language. Here at New Life, we challenge everybody to do three things that put you on a path to mature as a disciple. And those three words are gather, grow, and go. And if you've been around New Life for a very long time, then, or if you've attended one of our Discover New Life classes, then this is language that should be very familiar to you, because this is what we desire for everyone who considers New Life to be their church family. We want you to gather, grow, and go. And Lord willing, we want all three of these to be happening simultaneously. This isn't like stair-step into it. No, these things happen all together. So let me just unpack that a little bit for you. I've got sermons on our website that unpack this in a lot greater detail, gather, grow, go. But when we're talking about our vision and our mission and what we do as a church, I want to talk about it right here, because I want to fan the flame of your growth of becoming a mature Christ follower. So let's talk about gathering first. When I say gather, that we want everybody to gather, here's what we mean by that word. We want you to do the very thing that you are doing right now. We want you to gather together. This is such a vital part of your maturing as a follower of Jesus. We want you to gather for worship. We're going to come in here and we're going to lift up the name of the Lord. We're going to sing praises to him. We're going to exalt his holy name. We're going to honor him because he is worthy of our praise. We're going to do that together. And then we're going to remember Christ's sacrifice through communion. We take communion every week. We remember our deliverance. Our hope comes from our deliverance. We are saved because of what Jesus did for us. And we're going to remember that every time we gather. And we're going to open up God's word. We're going to dive into God's word. We're going to study God's word. It is our guide to get through every single day of our lives. And not only that, when we gather together, we want you to rub shoulders with other Christians. We want you to be encouraged by being together. Now it says this in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Let us consider how we may spur one another along towards love and good deeds. So as a growing, mature Christian, we actually think about, how can I be an encourager? How can I spur other people to grow? And then he says, not giving up meeting together. So there's something about this gathering that plays a crucial part in our maturing. So he says, don't give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. I cannot stress enough how important this gathering is with other believers in your growth as a disciple. Now, I don't know if you pay much attention to this like I do, but do you realize that many churches are still reporting in that they are not gathering as strongly as they used to before COVID. Did you realize that? Do you realize how many churches are still struggling? Many churches are reporting that their pre-COVID attendance was still larger than their post-COVID attendance. What has happened? What has happened in the last couple of years? Well, we have inadvertently taught people that they don't have to come to church anymore. We, in our efforts to bring church to people when the country was shut down, we have taught them they no longer have to be here. And what has happened is you had a lot of, you know, people that just attended church, but it wasn't all that serious with them, said, I'm not going back. And then you had others who said, I don't need it. And that is not good, because we need each other. I'm telling you, as church leaders, we have identified that part of your maturing process, a significant part of that, is just being with other believers, worshiping the Lord, remembering Christ's sacrifice, opening his word. So I want to challenge you today, no matter where you are, what you think about church, or what your pattern has been, make a commitment today. I'm going to make church a priority. The gathering with the other believers is an important part, is a vital part of my walk with Jesus, and I want you to commit to it. Fathers, I'm looking at you. Be the leaders of your home. Get your family to church. It's so, so important. This is an old illustration, but it's about the clearest one of them all. Have you ever started a charcoal fire before? Many of us have. You pile those charcoal bricks together, right? You lump them in there nice and tight, and then you light them. And what happens is, because they're so tight together, those charcoals burn hotter and hotter because they are so tightly connected. And it creates a very hot fire. But if you've been doing this long enough, like I have, what happens to that one or two charcoal bricks that roll off the pile off to the edge of the grill? What happens to those? They burn out quickly, don't they? Why do those bricks, are they any different than anybody else? No, but why do they burn out and get cold so fast? It's because they are removed from the heat. They are removed from the pile. And if they're removed from the pile, they don't function. And friends, I'm telling you, church is like that. We need each other. Because together we burn hot, together we are unified, together great things happen. But when we remove ourselves from the gathering, we tend to find ourselves cooling off in our walk with Jesus. And that is not how God designed it. So what do we want everybody at New Life to do? If you call New Life your home, this is what we want for you. We want you to gather. Here's the second thing. We want you to grow. Now, when I say the word grow, I want you to understand me. I'm not talking about church attendance. I'm not talking about more campuses. I'm not talking about parking spots or seats. I'm not talking about any of those things. When we use the word grow, I'm referring to your inward spiritual growth. That's all I'm talking about. I'm talking about the spiritual growth that takes place inside of your heart. Becoming more like Jesus by engaging God's word and connecting with God's people and loving and caring for one another. There is great inward spiritual growth that comes from that. And I believe that one of the best ways to do that in the context of a church family is through life groups. And I'm telling you, we talk about this often as leaders, that how amazing would it be if everyone who calls New Life their home would engage in a healthy life group. Now, I don't want to assume everybody knows what a life group is, so I'll tell you what a life group is. A life group is a smaller group of people who meet once a week. Usually that meeting happens in somebody's home, but not all the time. But a smaller group of people who meet once a week in someone's home to engage God's word together, to pray together, to fellowship together. And when I say fellowship, I'm using the biblical definition, koinonia. It's not coffee and donuts. I'm talking about getting involved with each other, becoming friends, being a part of each other's lives. So we engage God's word, we pray together, we fellowship, we do life together, and we care for one another. What if everybody who calls New Life their church family, what if every single last person here was involved in a life group like that? Well, for one, I can tell you it would be powerfully unifying as a church family. But the inward spiritual growth that would take place collectively among our church family would be off the charts. So when we say grow, I want you to understand we are specifically talking about growing in the context of a life group. Is that the only way for you to grow in your walk with Jesus? Of course not. And I don't mean to leave the impression that that's the only way. But it is a great way, and it is an attainable way, and one that makes a lot of sense for a growing multi-site church like ours. Now, I want to tell you about some changes, some adjustments we're making to our life group leadership. As you guys know, Pastor Cody is our Connections pastor and has just been doing a wonderful job with our life groups here at New Life, and he will continue to do a wonderful job. But as we have grown and as we have gone into the multi-site direction that we've had, it's become increasingly obvious to us that we need more leaders involved in our life group. Specifically, we need some leaders that will be present and working at each of our campus, working that field at each campus, helping people get plugged into life groups and training them and starting new life groups. And so I want to introduce somebody to you here at the Reardon campus today. Bruce, come on up here. And this is Bruce Love. And listen, this is no stranger to our New Life family. A lot of you have seen Bruce and his wife, Kathy. They're fixtures here. They've been leaders in many different areas of ministry. But what you may not know about Bruce is that Bruce has been a minister of the gospel for many decades. He has served churches. He's done my job in a lot of other churches. And it has been a blessing to have Bruce in this one, that this season of his life, he and his wife are here with us. Let me tell you something about Bruce. He brings a lot of experience, a lot of depth, and a lot of Christ-likeness to a role like the one I'm telling you about. So here's what Bruce is going to do, and I want you to see him. I want you to understand what he's doing. Working with Cody, Bruce is going to be our Reardon Campus Life Groups Director. And so he's really boots on the ground. He's going to be working with all of you just here at this campus to help raise up new leaders, to help equip you to lead a life group, and to help form and launch new life groups. This is how important this is to us. We want everybody to grow. And we believe that one of the best vehicles for that is a life group. And Bruce has come alongside to be integral in helping this campus here at Reardon come to full realization of what that can look like. So I wanted to bring him up here and tell you, I'm going to tell you more about that later in future sermons and in emails, but I just want you to know what we're doing. Now, over at the Highlands campus, we are doing the same thing. But Bruce isn't going to be over there. Bruce is at this campus. But over at the Highlands campus, there's a gentleman by the name of Daryl Jones. And like Bruce, Daryl has been a lead pastor of a number of churches, a church planter, has come to this with another deep well of experience and ministry involvement. And so he is going to be the Highlands campus life group director, doing the same thing over there. We're bringing more leadership to the campus level, and I couldn't be more excited about what God is going to do through Bruce and Daryl. And so I here's what I want you to do. If anything that I say today inspires you to be in a life group or to lead a life group, or you're saying, you know, I'm not in a life group right now, but listen, I understand what pastor's talking about, everybody being one, and I'm ready to do that. Maybe you've been on the edge just a little bit, like, I don't know if I want to do that or not. Let me give you a little encouragement. You taking a step of faith today may just be the most important thing you've done in years. So Bruce is going to be hanging out in the lobby after service today, and he wants to talk to anybody. If you've got interest, you come meet him. If you want to be a life group leader, you come tell him about it. If you've got questions about life group, come ask him about it, and he would love to meet you. So Bruce, welcome aboard, buddy. I can't wait to see what happens. Let's give Bruce a round of applause right now. Awesome. Awesome. So we want you to gather. We want you to faithfully come to church and make that a priority in your walk with Jesus. We want you to grow, okay? Great inward spiritual growth. And we want you to join a life group where you'll engage your church family. We want you to see these as vital parts of your maturing process and discipleship process with the Lord. The third word, so gather, grow. Here's the third word, go. Go. What do we mean by go? Well, let me put some phrases behind that. We go and bear good fruit. We go and live out our faith. We go and serve others. We go and share the gospel of Jesus. We go and we make a difference. Think about it this way. If grow is primarily dealing with your inward spiritual life, if that's what we mean by grow, then go, on the other hand, is all about your outward spiritual life. Go is the outpouring of your personal devotion to God. Our outward life, bearing good fruit, is motivated because of what's stirring on the inside of you. So if you're walking with Jesus faithfully, then it's going to show. I say it like this: if you are in God's word and you're engaged with other people and you're coming to church every week and you're being encouraged by the church family and you are growing as a follower of Jesus, then at some point it's got to come out of you. It's just a natural response to a growing walk with Jesus. There is an outflow to what you're bringing in. That's just the way God designed it. That's how the Holy Spirit works through you. Here's some words that Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount. He said, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. You ever been driving at night off in the highway and you see the city lights off in the distance glowing off the bottom of the clouds? That's because you can't hide a city. You can't hide that light. Jesus also said, nobody lights a candle and puts it under a bowl. That would be a silly idea. Why light it? Well, Jesus is talking about your Christian life. So he says, no, you are to let your light shine before others. Why? So they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And let me just tell you, there are lots and lots of ways to go and bear good fruit. That's what a healthy disciple does. It's like Jesus said, a healthy tree produces healthy fruit. A healthy disciple produces good fruit. There's lots of ways, there's lots of fruit that you can bear. There's lots of ways to live out your faith. There's lots of ways to serve the needs of others. There's lots of ways to share Christ. There's lots of ways to volunteer here at the church and well beyond, in these walls and well beyond outside these walls. There's lots and lots of ways to do that. The point I'm trying to make is this: we are supposed to go. That's what a healthy follower of Jesus does. And what would our church family become if everybody who calls new life their home would gather, grow, and go? Worship with their church family, connect in a life group, and go and bear good fruit. What would that look like if 100% of our church family was doing all three at the same time? Well, I think it would probably look like what Paul summed up in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. What's he say? For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding the Spirit gives. This is what Paul was praying for the church, that you will be filled with the Lord's wisdom and knowledge. Verse 10, why? So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. What I am describing to you today, friends, pleases the Lord. And at the heart of who we are as a follower of Jesus, I want my life to be a pleasure to my holy God. Paul prayed for that. So that you live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. And then he outlines it: bearing fruit in every good work. When we go and bear fruit, that pleases God. Growing in your knowledge of the Lord, that pleases him. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. All of this pleases the Lord. And all of this is a picture of a growing follower of Jesus, a true disciple, somebody who is following Jesus, being changed by Jesus, and committed to the mission of Jesus. So let me just sum this up for you today. Our vision: where is all this going? What is God showing us? What is God continuing to put clarity around for us? It's this: hope and a future. And by means, salvation and eternal life. We want everyone in our church family and everyone the Lord brings into our lives to know this, that God has a hope and a future for them. And why is that even possible? It's possible because God cares more about where you're going than where you've been. That's why that's possible. Hope and a future for everybody. It's our vision. So what's our mission? What do? We make disciples who gather, grow, and go. That's what we do here at New Life. Is that the only thing we do? We do other things too, but that is the core mission. If you ask, what does New Life do? We make disciples who gather, grow, and go. And as we live this out together, God uses us to bring hope and a future to people around us. That's where we're going. That's what we do. And that's what God is calling us to be. So friends, as plainly as I can put it, that is what God wants from us. And so I hope and pray that you'll really think about that and contemplate that. I hope and pray that you leave here today asking this question: gather, grow, go. Where am I winning and where am I falling short? Maybe some of you are like, oh man, I never miss church. I'm gathering really well. But truth be known, I'm not really growing that much, and I'm certainly not serving the Lord with my actions. So you have an answer. You're gathering well, but you've got two other areas that the Lord is revealing to you. You've got some work to do. Some of you are like, well, you know, I make sure I make it to life group, but coming to church hasn't been that big of a deal to me. And maybe the Lord is revealing to you right now, it needs to be a big deal. They go together. I'd imagine many of us in here saying, well, I can't really point to anything specific where I could say I'm bearing good fruit and changing people's lives. I don't remember the last time I had a spiritual conversation with anybody. I haven't volunteered for anything. I'm not serving. Well, then there you go. The Lord is bringing to your attention an area that requires some rejuvenated focus in your life. But for us as a church, our vision, hope and a future for everybody. What do? We make disciples who gather, grow, and go. And God is going to use all of us to bring hope and a future to everybody. I really hope and pray that you will dwell upon these things, pray about these things, and take action in your walk with Jesus. Let me pray for you. Lord, I thank you for this time together. Lord, in many ways, this sermon is so basic, but at the same time, it's so revealing as to what you desire for us. And Lord, we desire to be a church that's completely on mission for you. Lord, we do not want to be a church that's shaped by our culture. We want to shape our culture through your Son, Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we pray that you help us in that. Lord, I pray for every single person in this room today. I pray, Lord, for any of them that right now is struggling to see a hope in the future. They're listening to the wrong voices. Lord, I pray they tune into your voice. Lord, I pray for anyone that has maybe had a wake-up call today that they need to get in gear as a follower of Christ. They need to quit playing around with their faith. Lord, I pray you open their eyes to what you would have them to do. Help them, Lord, see ways that they can grow. Help motivate them, Father. Lord, I pray for anybody here today who's not even following you. I pray, God, that today there'd be conviction come into their lives, that they will follow you. We will choose to go with Jesus, and they will start this journey today. But Lord, we just pray you help us with this. Help us become more like you every single day. And it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.